Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
We want to welcome you back to 3GT, Three Guys Theologizing, where Barry York, Kyle Borg, and Scott Hunt co-host. We are glad you joined us today. And I just want to start off, Barry, by apologizing to our listeners. We have been kind of behind on recording 3GT the past month. And just to give the audience a little bit of an idea, it's been said before, this is a labor of love. We enjoy doing this. This is not our full-time job. This is something we do on the side. And our lives sometimes have to take precedence and priority over the fun that we have recording 3GT. And I will tell you that it is a blast being able to do this, sit down with a couple of really good friends and talk about the things that we really love. And that's the Lord and theology. But this past month in particular has been just a really busy month, Barry. I think you would agree for all of us, not just for any one of us. Some of you may be aware, Kyle has been away now for quite some time. He's been involved in a church court case, an ecclesiastical case, which is coming to a conclusion here pretty quickly. We have missed him. I know just from my brief interactions with him over the past month or so, he has been extremely busy. As most of our listeners are aware, I'm actually in the midst of a political campaign myself, which has kept me busy out in public and occupied my mind with quite a bit. So it's been hard for me to carve out the time necessary to do this, Barry. And really, one other thing that has really taken Barry away is a tragedy, really, that took place within his family. His son-in-law, a police officer, was shot in the line of duty, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit here. But you know, it's funny as you get older. I remember as a kid thinking, "Man, I can't wait till I'm adult, and I'm an adult, and I don't have to do anything. I can do whatever I want." But Barry, that's just really in my life, and you can confirm or deny this, but it just seems like that's not really the way life works, is it?
No, not at all. It seems like the older I get, the less my time is my own. And especially as a servant of Christ, right? You're always sure. Wanting to make sure that you're available for the church and for the people that he's given you responsibility to.
Yeah, and it's not, I don't mean that in any kind of negative, pejorative way. It's just a fact of life that when the Lord calls you to be a servant, you are to serve and do so joyfully. I don't think any of us would say that we're not joyful in the service that we're doing right now, but it is hard. It's time consuming. It's wearing on the emotions, on the heart. And so... Listeners, forgive us for being derelict in our duty to 3GT, but please understand that we have duties elsewhere that we are all attending to.
That's right. We do try to put out a weekly episode of Three Guys Theologizing, and over the course of a given calendar year, we recognize there'll be certain times, certain weeks where we'll miss a week here or there, but in recent, as Scott is saying, in the recent month, it's just been hard to even find time to get in front of this microphone and have a chat. So, Scott, you and I have had a few texts back and forth in the midst of all that's going on, but it's about it. So it's good to see your face again.
Well, it's good to see you, and it's hopefully, listeners, it's good to hear our voices again. I know mine's not much to listen to. I'm even struggling with a cold, so I sound a little bit stuffy today. You'll forgive me for that, but Barry,
that's why I'm wearing a face mask.
Yeah, you have that. Yes, we don't want to get the catch any kind of cold virus over Zoom. I do want to talk, Barry, about kind of some of the lessons that you've learned over the past month. We could talk about my politicking, but that's just really not fun. I've learned that I'm not a big politician, and I don't like it. It's necessary, and I'm happy to do it. But really, Barry, I think in all of this, you've probably gone through quite a bit of emotion in the past month. Would that be an accurate statement? Probably an understatement.
Yeah. Some of our listeners, maybe many of them, will realize through either the news through the church, or I did put up a blog post a couple of weeks ago just explaining what happened. But on the February 28th, a little before midnight, I get a phone call, and it had been a glorious Lord's Day. And as I was rejoicing in the Lord's Day, about ready to head to bed, when I looked at the phone, it was my daughter, and I'm thinking, she doesn't usually call this time of night. And then when I answered the phone and heard her voice, I knew something wasn't quite right. And she did tell me that her husband, Tommy, had been shot as a new police officer. It was amazing. He had just graduated from the academy, and I think it was like his third week out on patrol, where he was continuing on in his field training. And that took a bullet. And so that started a whole series of events that took me out to Indiana. I was out there for 2 weeks, a short trip back home. In the midst of it, I was out there for 2 weeks. And my wife has been out there for quite some time, even though she's back home currently, as we now are walking through this this road, which is going to be a long road, but a road filled with hope of recovery for our son-in-law, Tommy.
And we do, I can tell you, we've been praying for him as a family daily, and Emery and his, and you and Miriam and the extended family. One thing that, you know, it's when you face a tragedy like this, it's there's a couple of responses you can have. You can grumble and complain to the Lord about why is this happening. Another thing, and I think your article on General Reformation and just my correspondence with you has kind of taken another tact, and that's seeing how the Lord has been working even in this horrible situation. And I kind of want to talk about this. So, you know, when you first hear of this story, see this or know what's happened, Barry, you can actually see the hand of God involved even at the beginning of this process. Would you agree? I mean, with how Tommy was able to get treatment immediately. I mean, can you tell us a little bit how, even in the midst of this, I can't even describe it, this horrible ordeal, how the Lord's gracious hand was involved?
Mm-hmm. And I can recount quite a bit. I have to be a little careful because there will be a court case upcoming, but certainly can recount the things that we know and that have been reported publicly. Tommy and his field training officer on that particular night were responding to a hit and run. When they came upon the suspect, he was out of his vehicle and acting quite erratic. And when they asked him to stop and identified themselves, he took off running. At that point, there was no indication that he was armed. He was just acting very crazy, erratic. And they went through, from my understanding, an alleyway that opened up. And Tommy was leading the chase and went to tackle the guy because he was running. And at that moment, I guess he turned around and just started spraying bullets. They had no idea he had a gun. And so you can imagine just thinking you're dealing perhaps with a guy on drugs and just not knowing where he is. And then all of a sudden you are faced with someone who has violent intent. When he turned around and shot, he caught Tommy through the throat with his bullet and shot at some of the others that were there in the vicinity, is my understanding. But then he himself was shot by a police officer returning fire, and they later apprehended him. Tommy, when that bullet went through his throat, lost his ability to breathe. And the plan was to try to get him back to the police car and rush him to the hospital as quickly as possible. But here's where we begin to really see the providence of the Lord. You know, it didn't go through his spinal cord, which is just an inch or two away from where that bullet went. So he was able actually I think he walked for part of this time. Because of the hit and run, that immediately had activated emergency personnel to come into the area. Fire trucks and paramedics were released at that moment. And because they were already in the area when they heard that Tommy had been shot, they were able to come and begin to administer emergency care and open up his airway right away. And now, knowing what we know, that actually saved him from brain injury and, again, even possibly his own life, because he could have drowned in his blood. He could have lost oxygen for a long enough period of time to have suffered brain damage. None of that happened. And so I went out the next day after he'd gone through one surgery and spent time with him, because he was in an ICU room that was guarded. There was only a few people that were allowed to be there. And in those days that followed, it was an incredible time for me to spend time there. I think in the almost 2 weeks I was there, I probably spent quite a bit more time with Tommy than I actually did with Emery, to give her a little relief as I sat there by Tommy's bedside and just got to witness many incredible things happening. And none of that takes away the fears that we went through that first night, not knowing. When we first heard the news, we didn't even know what had happened. We just knew he was critically injured. He was in surgery. We didn't know what the outcome of all that was going to be. And so just going through a dark night like that and being so far away from our daughter was hard. The second day I was there, this was a couple of days after the injury, I came into the ICU room, and Tommy and Emery were in there, and the surgeon had just left, and his prognosis for Tommy's ability to recover his speech at that point, he said it was very slim that he would ever talk again. And that was the first time I just saw just a real grief and difficulty for Tommy and Emery to go through that. Tommy and Emery are a very loving couple, and just always communicating with one another. And so just the thought for Emery to think that she wouldn't hear, Dad's getting a little choked up here, but sure. Not to be able to hear Tommy talk to her again, that was just so hard for her. Fortunately, we just held on to he did say there was a possibility, and we know that our God is a God. I heard many times the prayer that the one who admitted Tommy in his mother's womb can still do his creative work and using the surgeons to help Tommy, the healing process. And so we held on to that slim possibility. And then following a second surgery a few days later, the surgeon came back and said he found more there to work with than he had hoped for. And so he raised the possibility from just a slim one to that he was cautiously optimistic that Tommy will be able to speak again one day. So we're thankful for that. And let me just give you his current prognosis, and then I can answer some other questions. But sure. In this operation, another providence, Scott, that just gives you a lot of hope is that the surgeon that was set apart for this particular operation is world class. And one of Tommy and Emery's best friends is actually a man who is trained in this field, is actually doing postdoctorate work out in the East Coast. And Tommy and Emery had actually helped his family move out there when they moved from Indianapolis out into the East Coast. And so he's been able to talk to them through all of this. And he actually had trained under this surgeon and said, you could be in better hands. And so just the way that the Lord has put things like that together have given us a lot of hope. And basically what he did was reattach remnants of his vocal cord that he found there. He was able to rebuild some of the material around his throat box. We've learned more anatomy than we knew about the throat before all this began. And, I just never realized, you know, your larynx controls, obviously you're speaking, but obviously also, I just never thought about it, but it's your airway. So if it's messed up, you can't breathe. And it also is involved a lot in swallowing the muscles around there, closing off the airway and helping the swallowing process. And so when Tommy came out of surgery, he had none of those functions. He couldn't breathe. That way he had to have a more permanent tracheostomy installed. He can't breathe, can't speak. And at first he had a feeding tube, but right before he got out of the hospital, he passed a swallow test. And so he's now able to eat, and we're thankful for that, soft foods, but he's able to eat. And the next month looks like he'll be at home continuing to recuperate. And then he'll have a surgery toward the end of April where they'll remove the stent, and some of these plates that are holding things together. And then really they'll just have to take it from there to see how much has been restored. If there's further procedures that'll be needed, he'll have to go through therapy to control his swallowing, breathing, and hopefully speaking function. So that's where we are right now. There's a long road that's ahead of them with respect to recovery.
It's so difficult to even hear, let alone have to deal with that on a personal basis, but we're thankful to the Lord for his goodness in that. I want to go back though to your times in the hospital. You know, I've known Emery since she was a little girl. I've known Tommy for a few years. I remember before they were married, and they both have really godly, loving hearts. And I could testify to that, not even being a family member. But can you share with us, and this was a lot of this was in the news, which is how I know about it, but how were Tommy and Emery able to really display the love of Christ in those early days while they're in the hospital, dealing with this really hard, difficult news in the midst of all of that? Could you see Christ working through them and in them to minister to those around them?
Well, last week in chapel at RPTS, I preached, and I was preaching on from Ephesians 1, just how to have a heart for prayer. And as I was talking to the students, I just said, you know, I came back from Indiana where there's a revival that has taken place, and that's what I want here. Because what I witnessed in the hospital room that the Lord was doing was incredible. And as Tommy and Emery are, you know, you're thankful as a parent to have godly daughter and son-in-law, and that's never been a question, but just to see their faith exercised in adversity and see how the Lord was just really doing deep heart work in them was incredible to me. You know, one of the very first times we had together, they were in earnest. Tommy could communicate. The amazing thing about Tommy is, you know, he's a physically fit guy. And so even 2 days after being shot, he was walking up flights of hospital stairs. He's been jesting with the nurses, like he acted at one point like he was going to run down the hallway. He's doing squats in his, you know, he was doing squats in his hospital room. So he's physically fit. So his mind was alert. Obviously, he had all the discomfort of the tracheostomy and and just having to lie there some. But beyond that, he was very communicative through a notepad and a pen. And I don't know how many notepads he's filled out, because that's the only way he can communicate. And one of those very first times together, they had just had devotions and they wanted to talk to me about how they walk together as a husband and wife through this time in a way that honors Christ. They were talking to me about they have a great love for one another, but they want to make sure that their love for one another never supersedes their devotion to Christ. And how do you work that out in a very practical way? So it's just what an honor, you know, as dad, to be able to have that kind of conversation with your kids, and then not to only see them talking about it, but really earnestly, really earnestly trying to live that out. And Tommy's just filled with joy and thanksgiving. And so everybody who's coming into the room, the nurses, he's asking about them. He's wondering how their day has gone. He's wondering he was asking them about their families. He asked, I'm laying here a lot. How can I pray for you and your family? And so he was just having this incredible ministry. And it was like a parade of people going through that ended up involving doctors and nurses and hospital staff. And then those in the police force. And then ultimately even the police chief and the mayor. There's just pictures and prayers that have shown that these different individuals have come and by Tommy's bedside knelt before God's throne in prayer. And I think a number of them, in true faith, we've seen many hospital staff and police staff confessing their own belief in Christ. But others, I think, are hearing the gospel. And so that's been really incredible to us. And so, a lot of people have seen the news clip when Tommy left the hospital after 10 days, that he paused. And as he got up out of the wheelchair and walked out the rest of the way to the police escort, he was right there in front of all of the men and women that he had gone through the police academy with. And he signed and Emory interpreted, "Tommy is weak, but God is my strength." And that's really a testimony to the psalm that they have. Back when Tommy decided to be a police officer, my daughter just confessed how afraid she was for him and in many ways didn't want him to go into this line of work because of her fear of this very thing happening. But they have clung to Psalm 91. It's their theme psalm and they've prayed it often, where God promises to be our shelter. And for someone who's been hurt, someone might question, well, did God really shelter them? And when you understand that a soul is of far more worth than a body, and that God has preserved their souls during this time, kept their faith strong, and actually in many ways strengthened their faith and their love for one another, then you see the truth of those words being fulfilled. And so, again, I'm just really thankful for that. And it's very humbling to me as dad to be learning from my children how to handle in a godly way adversity. Many of us have said in our family, we can't believe what Tommy's doing. I couldn't do what Tommy's, And Tommy would say, yeah, I couldn't do it either, but the Lord is my strength and my hope.
Yeah. I was going to mention, I'm glad you mentioned that it was a video in the news of Tommy leaving the hospital. And and what's been so neat is everybody who's commented on this case has talked about just what a man and a woman of faith Tommy and Emory are. And, you know, sometimes you take that, you have to take that with a grain of salt, right, with the news. But just to hear and see what they're doing and saying. So I saw that when Tommy signed, you know, "I am weak, but the Lord is my strength." And it choked me up watching it on the news. Yeah. And then, you know, a week later, they had the rescue team that helped save Tommy's life in their home, and prayed for them and, you know, talked to them. I mean, it's just a beautiful picture of how the Lord can take what man meant for evil and mean it for good. And as difficult as I know this has been, praise the Lord that that Tommy and Emery have borne up under the strength of Christ and or through the strength of Christ under this adversity and have really been a mouthpiece for Christ and in his love and goodness even through this difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Did you happen to notice, did you see me in that when Tommy was leaving the hospital? Did you see me there?
No, not I.
You didn't see me in the news clip? Oh, well. I keep teasing
people. I saw a bunch of people.
I was standing there. I've asked people. I said, it's kind of like, where's Waldo? Did you see me? And one of my friends yesterday said to me, you mean like, where's Waldo?
Well, did you have a stocking cap on?
Because we were getting ready to go outside. And I was standing right in the doorway where the wind was whipping through on a cold, cold day. But no, we're so thankful for Tommy's witness. He's written one of his prayers that he wrote with a deputy police chief. That man read to the media. And so it was in the news. And so it's just neat to see God making his voice known. And it's a reminder to us in the scripture, one of the truths of scriptures that, you know, when we're weak, the Lord is strong, that he uses broken vessels to shine forth with his glory. And so I think he's just demonstrating this through this story. And yeah, you're right. Just a week ago, the medical personnel, the fire rescue team that was there that night responded and spared Tommy's life, came to their home, and he got to get in the ambulance again and all that type of thing. But there's a beautiful picture. At one point, they're in the living room, and the number of these men and women are kneeling in Tommy and Emery's living room in prayer, and Tommy writing his prayers and Emery reading them. So again, we're just very thankful for this. When my wife, Miriam, was there, she noted one morning, early in the morning, that there was a police car parked outside their house. And later that day, she discovered a note on the door. And basically, this police officer was saying, I'm starting my day off, my patrol off each day, stationed outside your home. And I'm praying for you. And if you need me to mow your lawn or clean your house, you just let me know, and then testified to being a Christian. And so just to see the Lord's kingdom, you know, at work through all of this, that there are all these believers that he has in different places in the city. Again, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to see.
It is. And I'm glad you have been able to share with us some of these things. And certainly there's probably a long list of prayer requests that we can have, but and you can share those if you'd like, or you know, it's hard to we're coming to the end of our episode. It's hard to wrap up an episode like this where you're kind of have these dueling emotions here. You're so thankful to the Lord for his goodness, but your heart is heavy for the struggles that you know that Tommy is having and Emery, they're going to have. And you know, it's not just them. I mean, there are other people who are in this same type of situation. And, you know, there's just struggles that people have, that people face. It may not be always physical in this nature, but it reminds us for sure that we need to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are struggling and dealing with life-changing events, and those who are helping. We did an episode several months back about helping those ministering to those who need ministered to, that takes a toll. So it's just a good reminder that the Lord calls us to be a people of prayer as well. And you can see how the Lord has answered prayer, right? I mean, from the very first prognosis to where we are today, from the telephone call that you received that Sunday evening that I'm sure you'll never forget to where you are today. We can see that the Lord has answered prayers and has intervened. It should, I hope, and I'm sure I'm a little bit biased, but it should give us a new perspective on just what law enforcement does for us. And I don't want to make this a Blue Lives Matter pitch or anything, but the fact of the matter is, Tommy went on a call for a hit and run, and his life has been changed forever. And that's where he is. But every day, I have friends in law enforcement. Every call they go out on, they don't know what they're facing. You think you're going to one thing and it's something else. So I think it's a real reminder for us to be in prayer for those who go out and serve the community, who are ministers. The Lord calls them ministers, who minister justice in the community. So pray for our ministers who go out and protect us in that way. So
that's right.
Barry, do you have any closing thoughts or anything you'd like to add?
Well, just a couple of quick things. I just really agree that it's easy to get in this day and age cynical about authorities, government authorities or the police or whatever. And just, again, seeing what you just expressed, the Lord working in them and through them. And it's just a reminder that we really need to be thankful for those who are protecting us and praying for them, as you indicated. It's also, again, just a reminder of the beauty of the body of Christ. There's been so many people who have reached out and encouraged us and strengthened all of us during this time. And then just the power of God's word. I love that they're relying so much on Psalm 91. A few verses from that: you will not fear the terror of the night nor the arrow that flies by day. There's certainly threats that God's people can face. But I love this part toward the end of the psalm where it says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. So the Lord does not promise that we won't have trouble or trial, but he promises that he will be with us. It's like Psalm 23. And we really feel like, in a sense, we've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but the Lord was with Tommy, with Emery, and with us. And so we just want to say that that's a real promise, and we've really experienced it, and we give thanks to God for it.
Amen. I don't think there's a better way for us to close out this episode. Barry, thank you for sharing with us. Thank you, listeners, for joining us. We do hope and pray that this will be an encouragement to you to be in prayer, to be in the Word, and to seek ways to serve those who may need serving. So with that, we will bid you adieu and look forward to meeting you again next time on 3GT.